Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. You are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And my lady, my love, my partner, how you doing there tonight?
I'm doing very well. Hey, just to be annoying, when are we going to fix that voiceover for the show?
Well, I sent the scripts out to get the new voice work done.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be making that change. I'm hoping that we'll have that changed by next week. I'm not promising anything, but I have sent that out to have some new voice work done. All of this stuff we're going to have all the shows, the intro, the rejoins, everything's going to be redone with a new voice.
Yay!
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. So, welcome everybody to Under a Shady Tree. This is Terry Power, and of course you've been listening to the melodious voice of my love and partner, Robin. We are excited tonight that we're going to have David Benash, organizer of Chaldea Fest. And we've been talking about Chaldea Fest and having a lot of the artists. In fact, for about the last 2 months, every interview we've had on Thursday night has been an artist that's appearing at Chaldea Fest.
Yep.
And we'll continue that through March and April and on into May, if at all possible. Yeah, we're just excited about Chaldea Fest and everything that's going on, and having David come on tonight and talk about it from the organizer's point of view. I'm just excited to hear what he's got to say, so let's go ahead and get him in here with us. David, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Thank you to everybody listening out there. I hope you're enjoying your evening as well as I am.
Well, like I said in my introduction of you, I'm excited about our very own pagan Woodstock. And, the atmosphere that I'm expecting is just going to be phenomenal with all of those artists and the people. It's just, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's been a long time coming. I've been working on this from concept to where we are right now. It's been just about a year and a half. Maybe a little longer.
Well,
I bet when you started, you never thought it was going to be this this involved.
No, I didn't. What happened was the original plan was just to be like five bands in a weekend and maybe a couple hundred people and just have a great time. And it kind of grew a little. Just a little. And unfortunately, I mean, well, I don't want to say unfortunately, but because everybody wanted to be involved. And that's a fortunate thing. I still, to this day, get emails from musicians from around the world that want to come and play at Caldera Fest. And I just, I had to draw a line somewhere. I had to draw the line at 30. And, well, I drew the line several times, but then I crossed it several times. But finally, I just said, you know, at 30, I have to stop. And actually, we're only at 29, but, you know, the 30th spot is being taken up by the premiere and launch of the Green album. So that's a really worthwhile thing to put in that spot. So.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to have 29 artists or groups. And a few thousand of our closest strangers.
Well, only for a few days. At the end, all you know, a few thousand of our closest friends. So
yes, absolutely.
Well, David, there might be one or two people out there listening that don't know who you are. Yeah, so for the one or two that don't know who you are, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? And you know, how you got from where you were to this?
Well, it actually started about 10 years ago, I guess. I started working the job I work now, and I'm not going to give that information up. It's not that it's private, but, you know, I really don't want to cross that line. But part of my job is I drive a lot. I put in probably 6 or 7 hours a day driving, and that really equates to, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours of work a day, which I don't mind that at all. But the 6 or 7 hours of driving a day, I started getting into, you know, it can only take so much, you know, regular old radio. And so I started listening to podcasts, and I started listening to pagan podcasts. And lo and behold, somebody would play a song, and I'd go, wow, that's incredible. I didn't even know that there was pagan music out there. And then so I'd pull that song out of that podcast, and I'd put it in my little collection. And I know, don't do that. But, you know, so I gathered these songs together, and then I started searching for these artists. I'm like, well, I want their albums. And some of them were easy to find, and a lot of them weren't. And before long, I collected this pretty substantial collection of pagan music. And, you know, I say substantial. At the time, it might have been, might have been 100 CDs worth of music. And that, you know, I kind of became, I really researched these bands and got to know who the people were behind them. And so I really liked the idea of podcasting and doing something interesting. But here I am, I'm a big fan of pagan music, but I don't have a clue what I want to podcast about. So one October, about 5 years ago, I hosted Kellyanna here in Charleston, South Carolina, where I live, and brought her into town and rented a hall and did all that stuff. And she played, and she was wonderful, and she played about 35 or 40 of my closest friends, and she was just wonderful. And we've been talking all day long about pagan music and, you know, the importance of podcasts and the importance of all this stuff and how the world of pagan music was going to change with the way technology was changing. And I said, yeah, I've thought about doing a podcast, but I really have no idea what I want to do it about. And she just stopped. She was packing up her gear, and she stopped, and she looked at me, and she goes, David, duh. And it just kind of hit me. I never had that, you know, I never made the connection. And about a month later, my very first episode of the Magic Jukebox was on the air, on the net. And I've been doing it fairly regularly. I I've had some lulls and things here and there, but I've done the show fairly regularly for over 5 years now, and so maybe a year or so into the podcast, I'm looking at all these really great artists, and I started doing a couple of shows. I did a show like the Ultimate Music Festival and things like that, just kind of playing with this idea. Because I thought, wouldn't it be really, really cool to go to a festival that had all of these bands playing at the same time? Oh, that would be amazing. That would be the coolest thing ever. And so I waited and I waited. And I waited, and nobody did it. And so I finally said to myself, well, you know, the real magic, you know, real magic is doing something for yourself and making magic happen. And so I decided to go for it. And like I said, I originally wanted to start off a little small, but it kind of grew, kind of got out of, you know, out of my control a little bit, but... I'm pretty happy with the results now, and you know, it's beyond my wildest dreams, beyond my expectations. I don't know, you know, honestly, with it being as big as it is, if I decide to do it again, I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, that's always a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. I mean, how do you top? You know, next year you'd have to have, you know, next time you do it, you have to have 30 artists, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's... No, I mean,
you know,
yeah, I've done some thinking about, you know, subsequent shows and you know, subsequent festivals, but I'm not going to give up the secrets at this point.
Good idea.
Because, you know, I got to have something, you know, I got to have something there, but...
Always hold something back. Leave them wanting more, right?
Exactly. You know, so, yeah, it's funny that you mention, you know, the people are calling it the pagan Woodstock, and I'm not necessarily discouraging that, but I'm also, you know, not really using that as a selling point. I don't want that. I didn't want to call it pagan stock. I didn't want to do anything like that. I mean, I became a fan of the Woodstock Music and Arts Fair, you know, the one in 1969. There were no others, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But I became a fan of that when I was in high school. One of my high school teachers said, "Here, I want you to listen to this," and handed me a copy of the soundtrack. And it's become kind of an obsession of mine for the past, several years. And it's, you know, so I've studied it. I've read Michael Lang's books and some of the other books that were on it. So I understand what they did from a producing point of view. And I've learned their mistakes, and I've learned the decisions that they made that helped make it a really great festival. And hopefully I can copy the things that they did well and learn from the mistakes that they made. And so Caldera, yeah, I'll admit it, has been modeled to some degree, after Woodstock. Just, you know, a little. There's definitely that influence there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I one of my recent, well, I say recent, but within the last year or so, acquisitions is I managed to find, and again, this is not what you should do, boys and girls. Don't follow by my example. I did manage to find a bootleg of pretty much the entire Woodstock performances, you know, what you know from the movie and what you know from the soundtrack is maybe 20-25% of what was played on that stage. And I'm not even talking about the number of songs. I'm just talking about the number of acts. You only see maybe a quarter of them in the movie and on the soundtrack. They're, you know, this bootleg it takes me 3 days to listen to it because it's 3 days of music.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
I've got a question. Robin, sorry to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, Ben.
How many stages are we going to have? Just the one stage?
Well, the original plan was to have two stages, but due to logistics of it, the stages would have to be so far apart, and the stages would have to be so far apart because of bleed over, and
right.
And all that. And then I thought about it from a fan point of view. You know, if I was in that audience, would I want to? I'd have to stagger the start times of the performances and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, do I walk away and not finish watching this band because I want to go see that band? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, do I miss half of this or half of that? Right. And plus, it's the, you know, the property is large. It's over 200 acres that were the Caldera is being held on. So, and, you know, you get yourself settled. You got your chair and your umbrella or whatever it is that you got set up. And it's like, okay, now it's time to go to the other stage. And you got to load all that stuff up and carry it. And we just determined that it would be just a big hassle for everybody, including us,
mm-hmm.
With the, you know, two sound systems and
right.
all that.
Security and, yeah.
Right, exactly. We decided to simplify. And so what I did, and again, using Woodstock as a model, I went back and I looked at their, because they had 30 acts on their stage in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and I looked at their lineup and how some of their acts were only maybe 20 to 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them played a very long time, like The Who, but some other acts, even, you know, John Sebastian from Love and Spoonful, he played, 26, 27 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, I can do that. I can cut everybody. And so I cut everybody's time down just a little bit, you know, cut maybe one or two songs off of everybody's set,
mm-hmm.
As far as time. And we managed to get everybody on one stage.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you'll be able to go. You'll be able to set up your, you know, your gear and find yourself a place and just park yourself right there and enjoy the show all day long. You want to get up and walk around, go check out the vendors. Of course, you want to go to where the food is. The menu for that just got released 2 or 3 days ago. If you haven't checked that out on Facebook, make sure you check out Caldera Fest on Facebook. You'll find out all kinds of cool information about the, you know, about the site and about the what's happening. But like I said, the menu just got released for that. So, oh man, I'm looking forward to that. he's going to have gator. He's going to have fried gator.
Woo! Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so anyway.
I saw that when it came out a few days ago or whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2 or 3 days ago. And he's gonna have like three or, I can't remember if it's, yeah, three food trucks. In there, so he'll be able to feed everybody, and it's going to be good stuff. Of course, if you don't want that stuff, we're not going to, some festivals and things like that have a tendency to say, well, if you leave, you're gone, you'll have to buy another ticket. We're not doing that. If you, you know, as long as you have your ticket stub, everybody's going to have some sort of ID on them, whether it be a wristband or some sort of lanyard or something. And as long as you have that, go to town, you know, go check out the local restaurants. There's not a lot, but go check out the local restaurants or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do and then come back. But we want to try and keep everybody on site for as much as they, you know, as much as you can. So, you know, but we understand there's going to be people that have to leave to go get supplies or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
we kind of want to keep everybody on site because that's where the excitement is. That's where the fun is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you said something about vendors. What kind of selection of vendors? How many vendors are we going to have?
Well, our goal was to have 100. We are currently sitting right around 65 or 70, I think was the last count. But we have people that do all kinds of things. We have jewelry, of course, and incense and clothing, hats. Let's see. There's a couple people that are selling pan flutes and drums. And, boy, I mean, just about anything you can think of. Artists and, wow, I mean, there's just so much stuff to think of. You'll definitely have lots of shopping opportunities because there's going to be lots of great stuff. And we, the lady that who's helping me out with Caldera, I have a great team, but Mary is the one who's in charge of our vendors. She has done a great job in making sure that we don't have, you know, 20 people that are all selling the same thing.
Right.
We wanted variety, and we wanted variety not only in product type, but we wanted variety in price point as well. So, you know, if you decide that you really want to learn how to play the pan flute, you can go to one vendor and pay, you know, $35, maybe $40 for a set of pan flutes. But if you're already an experienced player or you want, you know, a really nice set for somebody, you can go to another vendor and, you know, maybe pick up a set for $300 or $400 if
right.
that's what you're looking for.
Right. Well, that's a pretty cool idea. So, well, I'm looking forward to the diversity of, I mean, vendors. Rose always a blast. So, and is that where the artist booths are going to be set up as well? So
yeah,
the artist
right on the
CD.
Yeah, right on the outside of the stage area. We're kind of I'm going there actually this coming week.
David, are you with us?
Seems like we lost him.
Yeah, well, he's still showing in the switchboard, but his voice has dropped out. So anyway, while we're waiting for David to return to us, like Kyle has been saying, I'm just excited about this, and we're looking forward to the event and to seeing all of the people that we've spoken to. Some of the artists that we already know.
Yeah.
So.
What a brave undertaking, huh, though? I mean, this is huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my heroes.
Oh,
there's just no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And
well,
David, are you back with us?
I am. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
It's okay.
But
Gremlins.
Yeah, Gremlins. anyway, right on the outside of the stage area is where we're going to have, I'm going to place a large tent that'll be a communal tent area that will be a place with a lot of tables and that kind of thing in it, where the musicians, you know, the artists and bands that don't have the means to set up a tent for themselves,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to set up their own booth, they can go in there and set up anytime they want to be able to sell their CDs, T-shirts, hats, bumper stickers, whatever it is they're selling, and you know, sign autographs and do that kind of thing. And then we're going to try and keep the rest of the musicians in that same basic area, which would be right outside of the stage area there. And then the rest of the vendors will be a little bit further beyond that. Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, they're going to be fairly close to the stage. You'll be able to hear things that are going on stage, but you may not be able to see it from the vendor area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be okay. That's cool. Well, it sounds like you've done a lot of thinking and working on this. You know, a lot of people, their first big event, it tends to be a little more challenged.
Well, I've got a little experience with it, with doing things like this. I've been involved with the local Pagan Pride group here for, oh man, how many years? 7 or 8. And so
mm-hmm.
we put on two or three big events a year. including our Pagan Pride event. And then we usually did a witch's ball and had a Yule celebration and a Beltane celebration every year. So it, you know, I've got some experience with that kind of thing. And then Mary was also involved in that group, and she was one of the founders, actually. So, I mean, she did it for 10-plus years. So we've got, you know, quite a few years of experience between all of us on the group when doing things like this. So we know that the more we plan and the more policies and procedures and things like that we have in place ahead of time, the less fires we're going to have to put out on site. I mean, the irony of the whole situation would be, I plan, you know, we as a group, we plan this, we execute it, we make it happen, and then the whole time we're there, we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off, and we never get a chance to enjoy it. And that's not what I want. I would love to be able to sit down in the crowd with a bunch of people that I've never met and, you know, make some new friends and be able to have the time to enjoy, you know, the festival that I put together.
Well, David, I totally wish that for you, and I will hold a good thought for you so that that can happen for you, but good luck.
Yeah, I know.
Having been an event organizer myself, good luck. There's usually maybe a few hours, like maybe Saturday afternoon, where the event is running itself, and you're sitting there and you're going, nobody is calling me on the radio. Everything's quiet. It's running itself. All the planning we did is working. Yay! So you live for those moments, so good luck. I wish that for you.
Well, I mean, we're getting there early enough, so I'm hoping that, you know, our plan as organizers is we're going to be there on site as early as Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We'll be there Tuesday to start receiving some of the people that will be showing up as far as, our golf carts are being delivered on Tuesday, that kind of thing. And then as the porta potties show up and as the tents show up and the food vendors and the other vendors and all those people start showing up, we'll be there early to do our setup and our planning. And then when, you know, everybody else shows up, it all kind of falls together like clockwork. This is what we're hoping for. So by Thursday night, when most of the people are coming in, you know, people that are camping and all those people are coming in, and where we've got our gates set up and we're receiving people's tickets and all that fun stuff happens. And then that night, you know, we're finishing off setting up the rest of the stage. And, you know, there's probably some drum circles and stuff going on around us. And so first thing Friday morning, when, you know, 10 o'clock rolls around, we're able to walk up on stage and welcome everybody and be able to just go from there. So hopefully we'll have everything set up well before, and we've got a great crew. You know, I've got a great crew that I'm working with, and we've got a whole bunch of volunteers that are going to be there helping us out. So, I mean, I'm hoping. I really hope that I'll have time to do it. But, you know, I know the reality is it probably won't, but that's all right.
Well, as I said, you might get a few hours the one day. I mean, that's usually seems to you usually get some respite, but hopefully it will go all smoothly. And I will, as I said, I will light a candle on my altar for you. How about that?
I need all the help I can get, believe me.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, guys, we're at very close to the bottom of the hour. In fact, with all the stuff we've got to do in this break, we probably are a little bit late starting. So let's go ahead and we're going to play a song. We've been playing songs usually from the artists that are appearing on Thursday night. And since we don't have any music specifically for tonight, I'm going to play my favorite, one of my favorite pagan songs of all time. And those of you that know me are already out there laughing, because it's time to once again play Dart of the Bard and Antlered Crown and Standing Stone. So everybody stick around. We'll be back right after this.
I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and oh my land.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. featuring Tuatha Dé, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Feller, and I'm joined tonight by my lady, Robin. And you are
Hello.
Under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. Hi, darling.
Hi.
And we're joined tonight by David Benash. You were going to say something, see that, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say we're joined by David Benash, organizer for Caldera Fest, and we're just... hanging out and talking about the festival and all of the backstory and the history that went into this. And as exciting as it was before, hearing everything about how this came to fruition is even more exciting. So, David, thank you for being with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Oh, no sweat.
So... before the break, we were talking about the festival, and you were starting to talk about timing. Now, when is the site going to actually open for regular guests, the people, to start arriving?
All right. The gates are going to open Thursday at noon, and that should give everybody plenty of time to come in. And like I said, we don't have anything scheduled for Thursday night, so that's a setup day, so everybody will have a chance to come in and find their campsites and get themselves set up and ready to go, enjoy some meals and make some new friends, probably have a drum circle or two, I'm sure that'll happen, and be able to enjoy and have that day to set up and be able to unwind and be ready to go, so nobody's rushing into anything on Friday. And the first thing Friday morning, actually, first thing according to the local laws and such. So at 10 a.m. on Friday morning, we will get started with our first performer, who is Robin Renee. And she'll get everybody wake everybody up and get the show started. And we'll be running music until about 11:30 at night. And after that, we'll have to shut down the amplified stage again due to some county ordinances. But, if people want to continue making their own music after that, well, by all means, I'm not going to stop them. But I do recommend people get some sleep, because starting the very next morning at 10 a.m., we start all over again with the music, and we do the same thing on Sunday. Monday, of course, is a holiday, being Memorial Day, and so you'll have the opportunity to sleep in a little bit on Monday, recuperate, but then you got to pack up, and, you know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So it'll give everybody a chance to...
So what time is it supposed to be clear on Monday?
We pretty much have we'd like everybody to be out before dark. But, you know, if somebody wants to stick behind and stay and help us, you know, break down and clean up and all that stuff, I don't care if you stay.
As long as you're doing something, right?
Exactly. Breakdown help is always appreciated.
So, we were chatting in the screen room during the break, and Robin had some amazingly insightful questions about the facilities in general that thought would be very good to talk about, you know, showers and porcelain versus porta potties and all of that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, let me answer we'll talk about facilities here for a second. Amenities, I suppose. As far as showers are concerned, there is a shower building on site. And the last time we spoke to the property owner, he was looking to expand that. I will have more information on that. Not this weekend, but the following weekend, we're heading over there to check with him. But the shower facility that he has is a male and female shower facilities. The female side, they both have four showering areas, but the female side is actually four separate stalls. The men's side is just one big room with shower heads on it. He was planning on expanding that to have a little bit more for us. If you have a VIP pass or you are a VIP, we are going to be putting a shower trailer in the VIP area. There'll be three stalls there, and it's actually three separate bathrooms, basically. So you have your own private bathroom with a shower in it. And so that's what we're looking at currently for shower facilities on site. Should be plenty. We're hoping for a little bit more. I know he was talking about building a handicap shower, which is a really important thing. I do want to make sure he puts one of those in. The other question was, well, no, there's no porcelain. There will be just porta potties everywhere. I'm getting a whole bunch of them, including hand washing stations and five handicap stalls.
Cool.
So you'll be able to have some variety there. And if you have mobility issues, well, you'll be taken care of as well. So let's see. What was the other question you asked me?
Fire rings.
Oh, fire.
Fire
yes.
rings and firewood.
Well, there are some fire rings existing in some of the camping areas. As long as you are safe, the owner of the property does allow ground fires.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bring a raised fire pit, by all means.
Mm-hmm.
There is not firewood for sale on site, but the owner of the property is allowing people to pick deadfall and use that.
Okay.
And, of course, if you want to buy firewood or you're forced to buy firewood, Lafayette, Georgia is an 8-minute drive from the site. And
right.
so it's really easy to go pick up whatever it is that you need. It's actually about 7 or 8 minutes to Walmart. So if you can't get it at Walmart, you know, you probably don't need it that bad.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I do know that from my own experiences with planning events in some of the state parks is they seriously discourage people from, let's say, where I live in Pennsylvania, I have a firewood pile out in my yard. They seriously discourage people from taking firewood from their yards and bringing them to events like this and crossing state lines. Bugs, that are not indigenous to that particular state. I know in New Jersey they had some kind of wood-boring beetle that was introduced that way, and they were really freaking out about people bringing their own firewood. So I would encourage people, if you're coming to Georgia, get your firewood when you get there. Don't bring any from home. Thanks.
Yeah.
The environmental message of the night.
Plus, that'll probably be a killer on your gas mileage. I would haul your firewood all the way from, you know, wherever you're coming from.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at what people will do, thinking, oh, this will save us $5, you know.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's any other amenities. It's primitive camping. They're, you know, if you have an RV, the RVs are welcome. We do have an RV area. There are no hookups in the RV area. There is no power in the RV area. If you have a quiet generator, yeah, maybe we can pull something off, especially if you're willing to share it. But but for the most part, it's going to be quiet. And, you know, when it comes to the camping, we need to try and be as quiet as possible so people can actually rest, that kind of thing. But RVs are welcome. There are a couple of hotels in town. I wouldn't bet on being able to get a room at this point. If you, you know, want to try, by all means, there are exactly two. Well, there's three hotels in town, but I wouldn't count the third one. I wouldn't wish anybody to stay there, quite frankly. Sorry about the place.
So
but
primitive camping would be better.
Primitive camping would be better. I think there would be less bugs if you were camping. The other two are fairly nice. They're not top of the line by any means, but the good news is if you are willing to travel just a little ways, you've got a couple of towns in the area. Chattanooga is about a 40-minute drive from there. If you stay on the outskirts of Chattanooga, you could probably stay in the half an hour or so drive time. And there's another town, and unfortunately the name of it is completely eluding me right now.
Yeah, I mean, that whole area, you've got Lakeview, Fort Oglethorpe, Ooltewah, all of that in that area.
Right, yeah, there's a bunch of small towns, but there's one that's a little larger, and I cannot for life of me remember the name of the town. But again, it's about a 30-minute trip from there as well. And so, you know, if you absolutely have to have a hotel, you're going to have to drive a little ways to make it to the site and back. But, you know, that's not that big of a deal. A 30-minute drive, that's nothing for most of us. We probably do more than that every day on the way to work.
Exactly. All right. Well, David, why don't you tell people about the website and how to get in touch with you or the event or whatever contact information you want to put out there. Before prices, I don't think we've mentioned how much it costs to come in.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've had some people asking if the prices were going to go up as we went closer to the event, and the answer to that is no. Right now, the tickets that are available are general admission tickets for adults, and that is anybody 13 years of age or over, and that is $100. Kids tickets are from the ages of 6 to 12, and they are $50, and that's for the whole event. And then if you're a child that is, you know, five and under, you get in for free. There's no charge for children five and under. So there you go. Pretty easy, right? The prices will not go up. I'm not going to be raising prices as we get closer to the event. But there, if you pay attention, there may be some ways to save a dollar or two. In fact, for anybody listening tonight, if you want to log into www.calderafest.com, that's the easy website. I've got a couple more, but that's the easy one. And you can go in there and click on Buy Tickets. And when it asks you for a promo code, enter the promo code SURN, and that's all capital letters. And enter that code, and it'll save you 10%. On your tickets, and that ends tonight at midnight. So if you wanted, If you're looking to save a couple bucks, and $10 is $10, you can get your tickets for 10% off. And so there you go. You, for anybody listening, you can save yourself a little bit of money, but that ends at midnight tonight.
Cool. Thank you so much.
All right. Special just for our listeners. Thank you.
I also thought, you know, since it is a family event and people are being encouraged to bring their kids, I know I'm bringing my 10-year-old, and I had asked you this personally, so I know the answer, but I'll ask the question for all the other, you know, moms and dads out there who are wondering, is there going to be something to keep the kids occupied? Is there any kind of kids track, or are they just, you know, going to hang out with mom and dad, or how is that going to work?
We did not set up any anything for the kids particularly. There are going to be a couple of workshops that are kid-oriented, presented. One of them is presented by Mama Gina, and the other is going to be presented by Ginger Ackley. And they're music, you know, music-oriented workshops for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not set up anything specifically for kids.
Okay.
We figure that they'll be able to find something fun to do. Hopefully not.
Absolutely. Put a bunch of kids together and they'll find something fun to do and
exactly,
keep themselves occupied. Right. Especially, I mean, the music is going to be so, you know, interesting to listen to and just exciting.
Yeah, make some friends, bring a football.
Exactly.
Style or American style, doesn't matter to me. And, you
Rugby.
Know, go for it. Have some fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, now, you had mentioned the food earlier, and I wanted to ask you about this when we're talking about prices. Is there going to be like a food plan, or is it going to be a la carte, or how is this going to work?
Well, if you have a VIP pass, you'll get food vouchers that you'll be able to take to the food vendor and give them to get, you know, whatever that you want to get. And then we will be, you know, handling that on the back end. But for most of the patrons, it's a la carte. So basically it's a food vendor at that point. So there's no meal plans or anything like that, nothing complicated. So just, you know, decide you're hungry, go up, check out what they've got. Their prices are going to be pretty fantastic. I think the prices for their food range anywhere from around $3 all the way up to, I think it was $14 or $15, and that's for something, I think that was for a basket of fried alligator and some fries or something. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But the prices are pretty good in that realm. Of course, if you don't want to eat the things that he has to offer, and nobody's forcing you to, you know, town, like I said, it's just a few minutes away, and you're welcome to bring stuff back to your campsite and, you know, cook.
Right.
Hey, invite me over for a meal, maybe I'll come.
All right, sounds like a plan. And so let's see. So you said the website was www.calderafest.com?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so that's the easiest way to find everything.
Yep, on that site you'll find you'll find vendor information if you're interested in becoming a vendor. You'll also find information about all the acts that are playing. You'll find information on what you need to bring. You'll find contact information. You know, I have several email addresses, and at least one of those is on there, as well as a phone number. If you call that phone number, please don't call it right now, but if you call that phone number, chances are you'll get me. It links to my personal phone, and I've been known to answer it and, you know, answer any questions that come up. I'm glad to do so.
Okay. I have one more question.
Okay.
And I'm sure people are wondering out there too, because now it struck me. Is there a way to get a VIP pass? Is that something you can purchase additionally on top of the ticket price? Or is that only if you're somebody who's playing music that you get that?
No, actually, what we did is the VIPs, you know, of course, talent and their guests are all in the VIP program already, but we did have VIP passes for sale. They were an additional $100 above your ticket price, and that included your meals as well as access to the VIP area, which has it's kind of a large tent with snacks and drinks, and that's the place where all the acts will be able to hang out and be able to kind of get away from the heat and get away from, you know, everything that's going on, a place where they can unwind. Mm-hmm. But they sold out. We limited the number of those passes to 50, and they went very fast. We wanted it to be kind of an exclusive thing, you know. It's not much of a benefit if everybody has it, you know.
Right.
So, sure. And so we wanted. Plus, we needed to make sure we could control that environment. So, yeah, if you did get a VIP pass, great. I'll be, you know. But if you didn't, sorry, they are gone. But it's just something to work for next year.
Sure, absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. Well, I think that covers everything that I had on my list to ask you about. Was there anything else you wanted to tell people about before we start wrapping up?
Well, let's see. Of course, the Green Album is going to be released at Caldera Fest. I don't have really that much to do with the Green Album other than knowing about it and having agreed to do the release. If you're not familiar with it, there have been a bunch of artists got together, like Dave the Bard and Twat the Dea and Wendy Rule. 14 of them. I think it was the number was 14, but a bunch of them are going to be at Caldera Fest. It's all but two of them that are on the album will be there. Kellyanna is not able to attend, and Spiral Dance is not able to attend, but everybody else is going to be live on site. And so Saturday night at 7:00, we're going to have a live concert of the Green Album. And all these artists that are participating will be able to get up on stage and jam together and have a big fun time playing all this new music. It'll be the first time most of us have ever heard it. I mean, I still haven't heard not even a note from this album. I've read some of the lyrics online, but I haven't heard a note. And I'm just so excited. It's really going to be a lot of fun. But everybody's going to be on stage jamming and playing this album together, and it's going to be loads of fun. I'm really looking forward to that one.
So are we, yeah.
So are we, yes, indeed. All right, well, David, again, thank you for being with us. We're going to take a moment now to tell people how to get in touch with us and all that kind of fun stuff. So at this point, I usually get out of the way and let my lady handle that part.
Okay, yep. If anybody out there would like to get in touch with either myself or Terry, we can both be reached at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's an email address that we both read. And in the subject line, just give us a clue as to what it's in reference to, you know, radio question or, you know, appearance information. You can also find us at our Facebook page, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings, which is, if you are interested in having Terry and I do workshops or come to your event in some way, either to do live broadcast or give workshops, do drum circles, counseling, whatever it is, whatever it is that you need for us to do, you can contact us through that Facebook page. Or, of course, you can reach me at my Facebook page, one of my other Facebook pages, which one is for my show, Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health, or you can reach me at Robin A. McKean on Facebook as well. You can also get in touch with the radio station, so if you needed to get in touch with Niv, our manager and booking agent, you can always get in touch with her or Terry and I at surn.org@gmail. Did I do it right? Did I do that one right?
You got it.
Yay, for a change. And, yeah, and You can, of course, reach Terry at his Facebook page, Rev, R-E-V, Terry Power HP. Did I hit it all?
I think that's it. Well, follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you can Twitter him.
Yeah, and you know, you said you know, the live remotes or speaking, we've done a couple of events where we did both.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, so we... you know, we try to promote the festivals that we're going to. So, you know, give us a call. We'll be happy to speak with you about coming out and participating in your event. We'd love to get out and talk to people. As you can, you probably already know this. So, with all of that said, David, again, thank you. And we will definitely be talking with you more between now and then. But we are certainly looking forward to meeting you in person and connecting with some of our existing friends and making a ton of new ones. So, everybody, if you're listening out there and you want to go to this, take the chance tonight before midnight and go to the website and get signed up and buy your tickets tonight before midnight and get that 10% discount. So
absolutely.
You don't want to miss out on that. You can possibly avoid it.
Yep.
So with all of that said, I think there's nothing left but to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night. Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.